Welcome to our Sunday message, Sunday the 26th of January, 2025. We start by reading a scripture from the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, and I'm going to be reading from verse 4 to 9. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 to 9. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. Once again, we approached with what the Bible describes as meekness, trusting you to help us rightly divide it, and asking you, Holy Spirit, to anoint our lips to speak and our ears to hear and our hearts to receive and our minds and wills to do. We ask all this in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen. We have been talking about you and I finding our place in the body of Christ. Remember, the body of Christ is God's answer to the world, and you and I to have a meaningful purpose in life. The only way we can is by being part of God's plan. And you see, his body is designed to accommodate every single one of us. His body has great needs. We've been describing this. The key to success, as it were, real success in life, is to use what we have to meet a real need. And we've been describing in general terms the functions that the body of Christ needs to have operating within her midst, for her to do what God wanted her to do, or wants us to do, rather. We've been talking about it in general terms, and as we try to express, you and I will have a natural inclination to be part of one of these areas, as it were. Not that that excludes us from all the other areas. As we've been saying, the DNA will be found in us that should be found in the body. But the body is designed to build itself up in love. And those who are specifically called into a particular office within these various ministries, their function is to, as it were, reproduce that ministry in the church. We've talked about this at length. We also described last week that even though these great functions have to take place, they need help. There's a whole area of ministry which is described by the Bible as helps, ministry of helps. And the point we made is that a person might feel a real inclination to see people saved, have a real urgency in their heart to see the lost brought into the kingdom. And we should all have that, actually. But this is an overriding burden, and we feel that's where we want to belong. However, we might be restricted by thinking, well, I don't speak very well in public, I'm not very eloquent, etc., etc., etc. Not that that's a bar to being an evangelist, by the way. However, we might feel that we are not naturally suited, and we wonder, well, how can I do what I want to do if at this stage I don't feel equipped? Well, you see, the ministry of helps is really where it all happens. Because one wants to help with evangelism, doesn't necessarily mean we have to be the person who speaks. We can be the person who drives the truck that takes the tent to the evangelistic crusade, for example. And there are many kinds of ministries like this. We spoke about the music ministry. The music ministry is a ministry of helps. It's not an entity on its own, as much as some people would like to make it. The ministry of worship and praise is to help with the distribution of the Word of God. It should set the stage for the ministry of the Word of God, for signs and wonders, etc., etc., or to prepare hearts for people to receive the word. There are other uses for music. We can't go into that at this stage. But you see, there are so many other ministries which are described, broadly speaking, as helps. Another term would be administrations. Things need to be run properly, organized. You see, there's all of this. All of these are general terms. And the point is that, you see, every single one of us will find a place where there is a particular need, where our particular gifting can help out. That's very important. And we need to gradually find out where it is that we fit in, and as I've said before, get with the picture. It gets slightly more, how shall I say, involved. We have been talking about the broad terms, bringing it towards us as individuals. We spoke at the beginning about the whole process of digging a tunnel. You start at one end, but you also start at the other. And we have been focusing on the broad picture, as it were, the broad picture of the church at large, in general terms. And even within those general terms, as we've been describing, there are many, as it were, subsections. The potential, the variety is infinite. There's another side to the coin, and this time we're working from us as individuals towards the other side, as it were. God has made every single one of us uniquely. Not only have we been given individual giftings, but we've also been given individual, how shall I say, natures. Everyone has a natural nature. And you see, we could make the mistake of thinking, well, I don't have the right nature for a particular function. What we need to understand is that in meeting needs, any need, God has to have people with differing natures. The title of this message is Unction to Function. We all know that we should be motivated with the great desire to see God's kingdom established on the earth. That's the broad understanding, yes. However, you and I are made individually in a certain way. We are just naturally born with a particular, let's call it, temperament. What the scripture is about when it says we are one body in Christ, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Can you see that? God's grace, His mercy has given each one of us something unique. But then it says, let us use them. Can you see that? Let us use them. Essentially, what he is saying here is that let's recognize how we are made, rejoice in it, and use it. Can you see? We might have a robust temperament, just naturally, loud and robust. And people might say, oh, you shouldn't be like that. Christ was gentle, etc. Nonsense. Nonsense. Let's accept who we are and use it. Can you see? You might say, oh, well, I'm fairly timid and whatever. I'm very sensitive. Some people are very sensitive. Well, don't be ashamed of it. Learn how it works and use it, you see. Use your sensitivity, your natural nature, as it were, for the kingdom. The kingdom is designed to make use of every kind of temperament that there is. However, I just need to sound a warning. You see, we can make the mistake of putting ourselves in a box. And it's very important, even though we might identify, as we are going to attempt to do just now, what temperament we fit into or best describes us. That doesn't mean we're stuck there forever and a day. All it means is that's the place to start with, you see. And the whole plan of God is that we start off in a certain way, but we get going and we develop into new areas. So let's not put ourselves or let anybody put us in a box and say, well, that's you and that's it. No. However, on the other side of the coin, it's important, eh, to try and get some idea of how God made us, to realize that that is by divine design. It's His grace that's done that. To accept that, rejoice in it, and then, most important of all, get going and use it. You see, God needs every kind of temperament to get the job done, as we are going to explain. It's something that I have taught before, but it's worth learning about again and again. Well, let's look at the scripture here. It speaks of a number of, let's call them differing temperaments. It calls it giftings, but you see, it's talking about nature of people. In His grace, God has created people in different ways. Thank God. Thank God. And as we're going to see, all these various temperaments, as we entitled this message, what makes us function, the unction we have to function, how they all work together to get the job done. Remember, that is the point, to get the job done. In getting the job done, using our gift, that's where you and I are fulfilled. Well, let's look at them. Differing according to the grace that is given to us. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Now, this list is basically, number one, let's call it prophecy. Number two, ministry. Number three, teaching. Number four, exhorting. Number five, giving. Number six, leading. And number seven, mercy. All right? Those seven particular giftings. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Let's look at the first one. We've spoken about this in general terms, prophetic ministry, as it were. And that is the kind of person, the temperament, that wants to inject and change things. He or she sees things and wants to put them right. Okay? The prophetic unction comes in and changes things. Movers and shakers, as it were. Then we speak about ministry. Ministry speaks about getting the nuts and bolts put together. I like to call that Mr. Fix-It, as it were. All right, there's a problem. The answer for him or her is to, hands-on, get the nitty-gritty right. Okay? We're going to come back to each one of these with an illustration that I often use. All right, the next one is teaching. The person who sees a problem and feels that the answer is to get the information, the right information to the people. The exhorter is one who just encourages people to get things right. Then we have the giver. You see, the one who just sees the answer as being just put money on it and it'll come right. Then there's the leader. And then there's the one who shows mercy. Now, let's look at them individually by means of an illustration. Let's assume in our community, and this is a reality, there's an informal settlement. And by the informal settlement, there's a highway running past. Now, these are the various reactions of the different temperaments, the different people with the different unction to function, as it were. Let's start off with the prophet. He drives past, he sees that the place is in a mess, and he feels something's got to be done. His way to deal with it is to go to the top. Go to the municipality, go to the government, go to whoever, and start moving and shaking and doing something at that level. And that is necessary. You see, unless things are addressed as a community, nothing's really going to change. All right? So that is the unction to function that that individual has. It has its place. However, please note, that will not work on its own. I'm sure this will become clear as we go along. The next one is the gift of ministry. All right, the ministry gift wants to rectify something. Perhaps the man is an artisan and he sees this community in a mess, and in his mind he thinks, well, you know, the problem is they don't have running water. So what he will do is now organize and work with his hands to get running water to the community. Make sure everybody's got a tap so they don't have to walk miles and carry water from one central place and in dirty containers, etc. That's his answer to the problem. And that's a very valid function, you see. But is that enough on its own? Well, the answer is no. Let's move on. We go next to the teacher. All right? Now, the teacher drives past, he sees this, and in his mind he thinks, you know what? These people are living in these conditions because of ignorance. Can you see that? There's ignorance here. And to a large extent, the person could be right. So what is his answer? Well, I will stop by every week and give a Bible study, you see. I will teach people, teach them what to do, how to do things, and etc., etc. Now, that's a very, very good approach. But do you think that will be enough on its own? It's a good start, but it's not enough, you see. The next person is the exhorter. The exhorter thinks to himself, when he drives past shame, these people must be feeling so miserable and they must be feeling so depressed. No wonder they can't get out of their condition. So what's his job? Sunday afternoon, sets up his soapbox, starts preaching the gospel to them, trying to encourage them, telling them that God's got better plans for them, that he wants them all to be wealthy and healthy and wise, etc., etc. All of which is true, by the way. Okay, that's his answer to the problem. And for sure, people need to be encouraged. Whoever they are, we need to be encouraged, you see. So he's right. But it doesn't stand alone. This is my point. All right, then you get the person who drives past and sees this poverty, and his way of approaching it would be, well, there needs to be a whole lot of money poured into this thing. Otherwise, they're not going to get anywhere. He wants to, as it were, kickstart the economy and get it rolling, as it were. And once again, that's a very important ministry. All the other ministries won't really get very far if people don't have the wherewithal to get going. Can you see? Very important. And then we have this mercy gift. The person who has this particular unction to function, as it were, drives past, and what wells up in that person's heart? They want to stop the car, walk over to the informal settlement, find the destitute children, hold them in their arms, give them food. You understand? A nurturing nature. Can you see? Now, there are many other temperaments, I'm sure. And the point is that, you see, we all are given a particular temperament because God needs all of them. And we mustn't be ashamed. We mustn't think, oh, well, you know, I'm a bit brash and I'm sort of going to tell everybody what to do. And think badly of a person who wants to hold the children. And the person who wants to hold the children mustn't think, oh, that bombastic person is just bombasting these people with truth. He's not really helping. Can you see? And the money man gives all the money and thinks, oh, well, I'm really doing the only thing that's any use to anybody. And you've got the teacher thinks, well, everybody needs just to know what to do and then they'll be fine, you see. And the hands-on man is busy finishing the plumbing and thinking all these other crowd are wasting their time. They're not doing the nitty-gritty, what's really important. Can you see? That's the mentality, but that's not what God wants. We need to rejoice in our particular gifting, not be ashamed, and use it. If you are a hands-on person, use your gifting. Can you see? Don't think, oh, well, I should be teaching these people, but, you know, all I can do is fix the toilets. Well, get on with it. Use it. Do what you can. Can you see? And the beauty of it is that when we all work together and we rejoice in our particular ministry and we rejoice in the ministry of others, for example, there's the ministry of leading. You see, we should have mentioned that probably first. There needs to be organization. The money man, I can guarantee, will be much happier pouring cash into this situation if he knows that it's being properly administrated. You see, that there's somebody to lead this community into something greater. My point is this, that you see, there's so much variety in all of this. and every one of us is made in a certain way. We mustn't be ashamed. We must rejoice in it, and as the word here says, use it. That's the big thing. Now, I just want to reiterate the warning that I started with at the beginning. You see, there is a danger in all of this that somebody might be categorized in a certain place and everybody puts them in that box and they stuck themselves in that box. And we might think, oh, well, you know, I'm just mercy ministry and that's me. But don't ask me to, as it were, teach anybody. Or don't ask me to be a leader. You see, that's a big mistake. These natural giftings are the starting place. You see, they are the starting place. And there's no reason why you and I shouldn't develop into the others. You might be a hands-on person, yes, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't do your hands-on with a caring attitude. You understand? We need to learn to grow out of our box and grow into everything. But let's recognize we are made in a certain way. Let's rejoice in the way we are made. Rejoice in it. Don't let anyone say, oh, well, you know, you're busy telling everybody what to do on Sunday, but you're not giving them proper Bible study. Or, I'm not doing a proper Bible study, but at least I'm making sure people have got food in their tummy. Can you see? We've got to understand every one of these work in concert together. In that way, we can really, as a body, reach and make a difference to the need in that particular community. I always think of the one occasion when we employed, as it were, an organization in our community known as Duster Dollies to come and clean our house. And when they arrived, there wasn't just one person doing everything. It was a team. They moved in almost like locusts and they got to work. And you see the ones doing the ironing, the ones cleaning the dishes, the ones sweeping up the floors, the ones washing the walls, ones polishing this, and there's the lady organizing it all. Can you see? They moved in as a team and got the job done. That should be the body of Christ. Where the needs are, we should move in as a team and get the job done. And you see, there's a place for every single one of us to function. If we are prepared to understand what our function is and to work with it, you see, and go with it. We need to be ready to use what we have. But once again, please note, because we see ourselves in a certain way, and because perhaps others might see us in a certain way, let's be prepared for God to uncover in us gifts that we never knew were there. You see, in the kingdom of heaven, people are given various giftings. And you might ask the question, well, everybody else is doing their part, but Mr. Fix-It refuses to help, for example. Well, you see, the Bible describes it this way. He who is using what he has will be given that which somebody else won't use. What is meant by that is, in a sense, if there's a particular need, God will empower somebody who's available to be used in that particular function, even though it might at first seem totally contradictory to their nature. In an army setting, I've seen occasions where, because of the circumstance, an individual who up till then was regarded as non-leadership potential, let's call it that, the person who wouldn't possibly say boo to a goose under normal circumstances. Under pressure, in a situation, people like that very often rise to the plate and demonstrate outstanding leadership capacity. Can you see? We might have potential in us that we are unaware of. By way of a small example, I found myself at one stage on a diesel troop carrier traveling through what was then terrorist-infested territory. And let me explain that as a young person growing up, I was regarded as, let's say, non-technical. And to try and get me to become technical, come Christmas, I'd get Meccano sets, electrical sets, all these sort of things to try and get me to, as it were, change. Anyway, I found myself on this troop carrier going through this, as it were, hostile territory, and this vehicle broke down. Guess what? Mr. Untechnical Graham got his hands dirty, got working on the diesel engine, and guess what? Because, of course, there was the danger of getting a bullet in my backside, somehow I managed to do the job, you see, and we got home. What am I saying? The gift was there. It took circumstance to bring it up. So, let's understand, we are given natural temperaments. Rejoice in them, use them. But if the occasion comes where you and I have to step out of the boat, as it were, into an area with which we are not familiar, for the sake of the kingdom, know this. No matter what our background and temperament is, God Himself can and will empower us. I trust that you and I will take this teaching and apply it to our lives. Take a hard look at ourselves. Because we are maybe strong in one area at the moment, and maybe it's one or two of these areas. Please, it's not like one excludes all of the others. We have certain tendencies, as it were, as humans. We need to recognize them. If you love to teach people, God wants to use that. If you are a natural leader, God wants to use that. If you just love to care for people, God wants to use that. If you are a generous soul, you like to give, God wants to use that. If you are a person who likes to preach and try and exhort people, God wants to use that. He wants to use all of us. Let's rejoice in our own giftings, rejoice in the giftings of others. Let's work together and get the great job done. In the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen.